So maybe, hopefully one day, like we're gonna make it. Like we're not from here. We're not supposed to be here. That's what I've grown up with. Are we to apply the Bible, apply what Jesus is teaching to this place? The ultimate destination is here.
This podcast was really fascinating to me because it's Pastor Jason Lewis. He's a biblical scholar and a really deep thinker, and he actually grew up in a religious household and kind of went away from that, but then came back, and he's got a really deep understanding, and he talks about heaven. Actually, you can achieve heaven on earth, which is a kind of a paradigm shift for Christianity. And he actually got a phone call from his dad after his sermon because it was online, saying, can you still go to heaven after you die? And he said, yes, of course, you can still go to heaven after you die. But he really believes that you can reach a state where the temple resides within you. Welcome, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
It's been we've had some interesting conversations, and what really blew me away was that first sermon that you gave. And you I can't remember which books you took them from. I think it was Luke. Was it Luke that you had a different portrayal of the Christian perspective of heaven, and I found that fascinating. That to quote Belinda Carlisle, I think it is that heaven can be a place on earth. But that sermon was incredible. Do you mind speaking about that?
Sure. It's something that has been, I've been kind of deconstructing for some years now, growing up pretty much fundamental evangelical, conservative. The narrative that you'll that the sermons and songs push is that maybe hopefully one day, like we're gonna make it, like we're not from here, we're not supposed to be here, and that there's this wonderful other place that we are designed for and made for. And if we just do good enough here, like one day we're going to be taken there, or we're going to go there forever, never to return.
So it's either once we die or there's going to be the rapture, so Jesus is going to come and take the chosen people. So
That's
one or
kind
the
of
other, basically. That's the old narrative.
right. That's what I've grown up with, and that's where I thought we were supposed to derive our hope for. And the more I like studied the Bible, got serious about the Bible, I started finding out that the ultimate destination is here. So if you like, at the end of Revelation, it's the New Jerusalem coming down. It's earth. It's heaven and earth colliding, and us being here. Actually, there's a great interpretation of there's a famous rapture verse, which is from Jesus, and he's saying that like there's going to be two working in the field, and one's gonna be gone, and there'll be two women cooking, and one will be taken away. And a lot of people are think like, oh, how awesome would it be?
So if you're the do-gooder, if you're the Christian, then you're going to be taken away to somewhere special.
You get whisked away. And so that's through so through the years, like I said, I've been working with this idea of, are we supposed to live in this yearning for somewhere else, or are we to apply the Bible, apply what Jesus is teaching to this place? I'm not a liberal or I'm not a progressive, but this puts a whole new weight on stuff like ecology, humanitarianism. Is that a word? Humanitarian is
Yeah,
this.
yeah.
How
So,
we treat animals.
oh,
You
because
know.
we can turn this place into heaven.
Well, it's not like we can't do it, but we need to be living in a way where this is gonna be the place.
All right.
So, like it's not a hotel that we can trash because we're leaving in a
Yes.
week.
Yes, okay.
It's our home.
Yeah, and
This is it.
that's quite a conservative and also very would even be nihilistic way of viewing the planet, that this is kind of our purgatory, or kind of our yeah, like this is not, or this can never be better. We are destined for somewhere better than this. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So the John 14 passage was about Jesus said, I am going away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if it wasn't so, I would tell you. And so in this new paradigm, in the old paradigm, it would be like Jesus' main ministry seems to be that of somebody that is been preparing rooms for 2,000 years in a mansion up in the sky somewhere, kind of just waiting for us to die and to come to where we should be. But in this new paradigm, Jesus, we're preparing ourselves. So the three spaces in that passage is mansions. So in my father's house, that's one. There are many mansions, that's two, and I will prepare a place for you.
And we can include the actual scriptures in the show notes.
Yeah, so that those are three distinct, they're not the same word. They're three different words for different locations.
Well, it makes so much sense to me. I mean, as soon as I heard that, I was like, just something inside me just gelled with that. It was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, the first clue is when Jesus says my father's house, and we automatically in the old paradigm they would say, well, that's heaven, but if
So
you
that's after you die, of course.
yeah it's just somewhere in the by and by up in the skies or whatever. But according, I mean, if you just took scripture and let scripture and interpret scripture, Jesus mentions those words, my father's house, only twice before, and they both mean the same place. So the first one is when he was 12 years old. His parents take him to Jerusalem and they lose him. They can't find him. And everyone's getting ready to go home there. Where's Jesus? And finally, they find him in the temple. And 12-year-old Jesus says to his mom, he's like, why are you surprised that I'm in my father's house? And so that's the first time he mentions my father's house, and it's referring to the temple. The second time is later in his ministry after the triumphal entry, and he walks in to the temple, and there's people selling and
And he
trading.
gets angry, isn't it?
Yeah, he clears the changers' tables and says, my father's house is a house of prayer, not a marketplace.
Not a marketplace, yeah.
And so that's the second time he uses my father's house. And in both instances they refer to the same place, the temple.
It's the temple, yeah.
Yeah, so if you do the homework on what the temple would have meant to Jesus, what the temple would have meant to the people, it's a heaven on earth place. So the temple presence starts in Eden, then there's the fall, then the tabernacle is set up. Then after the tabernacle was the temple, and that's what Solomon built, and it was destroyed and it was built again. But the temple represented the presence among the people. It's heaven on earth. And so when Jesus says, in my father's house there are many mansions, there are many dwelling places, that's what he says. In my father's house dwelling places. And I'm gonna go prepare that for us. Him going to prepare is going to the cross. It's not going to heaven. He's going to the cross, and he's gonna make a way for God to dwell with us the way he's always wanted, from Eden to the tabernacle to the temple, and now to us.
And now the temple is us.
Yeah. So with the cross, with what Jesus accomplished on the cross, we are now temples of the Holy Spirit. We're a living, breathing
So
stone.
it's taken, so with his death, or with him going on the cross and the resurrection, that allowed the Holy Spirit to reside inside us, which and we
Yes.
are now the new temples,
We are
the
temples.
tabernacle, we are the temples.
That's right.
We had an incredible conversation, and it was really, really interesting to understand or to hear your understandings of God's perspective of time. Because I asked you about prophecy. So I asked you about, it was it Daniel? Oh, no, Joseph, and the Technicolor dream code. And he was in prison with the Egyptians, and he prophesied to the that there would be famine. And then I asked you about
Yeah, someone has a dream and he interprets it. Yeah.
exactly. And his dream was very specific that there would be a time of famine, right? And so then we go like, well, if then everything is written, if everything is done, then it could make turn people down a nihilistic pathway, which is not good. And then you came up with a really interesting understanding of time. Do you mind speaking to
I'll try.
that?
I don't remember how deep in the weeds we got, but basically we need time to just make sense of things.
Of
But
life, yeah.
this is how we exist. If we had no length, or if we had no depth, or if we had no points of these points of reference, we would just, the way that we're designed, we would be able to make sense of things. So it's basically impossible for us to think of no time, like existing in a no time type of existence.
Well, without time, there can't be space. That's pretty well agreed upon with yeah. And then, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, however, you can't see it. We think we can measure it based on movements of celestial bodies, but that makes it re relative, right?
Yes.
So
So now time is now relative to the movement. So
yeah,
it's now relative to space.
yeah and actually, if I'm on the beach here and you're on the top of Mount Everest, time moves faster for you than it does for me. I mean, it's a fraction of a
Fraction,
second,
yeah.
but it's faster. It's because time's relative.
Yeah.
It's relative to the movement of what's going on in space, let alone if you're on another planet or
Yeah.
you're traveling
At the
in one
speed of light.
direction.
I mean, if you're traveling at the speed of light, then you don't age, do you? I mean,
Yeah. Well,
because
age is another thing. So age is the language that we give for the effect that time has on things. I don't know, like time, we it's fun to wrestle with it, but I think time is just, it's one of those dimensions.
Yeah.
It's basically a fourth kind of dimension that
And what you explained to me was if you had to just think of time as linear and then you had to get to the end of eternity, it can't be linear because you get to the end of eternity and then there's an eternity of a linear part of time.
Yeah, for a while, yeah, I thought that eternity just meant forever or a really long time. But that just kind of keeps us in this three or four dimensional type of space. And maybe it could be something more like the absence of time. When the Bible talks about time and God and God's space, he talks about the beginning and the end being the same, the same point. That would make it more of a sphere.
Okay.
Or like one week, one day is like 1 year in
Yeah.
God's presence. So there's this there
Well, that's how miracles can happen as well, is surely is because time is God's time is different to our time. So like a healing miracle, that's how I understand it. Like if somebody heals instantaneously from something, it's because something is ignited within them and something happens and it's not physiologically possible, but it's in God's time. It's not in human time. So
Yeah, so we just have to imagine God is outside of that. Like
yes.
we are trapped within it and God is not. So in the beginning, that's time. God created the heavens and the earth. That's matter.
So that's during time.
Yeah,
But God is kind of
but he made time. So like
yeah.
before that, what's before the beginning? You're like
Yeah.
it's no time.
Before time and before space.
Yes.
And will always be there. And now we're experiencing this reality or semi-reality because we are yeah, I really believe it's like a semi-reality. It's not
Yeah, well, whenever somebody creates something, there's dimensions lost.
yeah.
So, if I was to create another human,
Yeah.
something like in my likeness.
Yes.
I would lose a dimension. So I could have a child, but that's not creating.
Right.
Okay. But if I was to create another me, it would have to be like a robot or a statue
Okay.
or something like that. If I was to create something in my likeness, I'd end up with a statue. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And
How
but
does
I would lose a dimension. I'd lose. There would be no life. There would be no.
Oh,
There.
in that thing that you've created,
Yep.
right?
In that. So
Oh,
I
okay,
created.
so you wouldn't lose the d dimension, the thing you created
No.
plus the
Yeah.
okay.
But since I'm making it in my likeness, it looks like me. It's my height. My whatever you could tell. But because there's a dimension lost
Yeah.
there. Even if I made a robot, it would there would be a difference,
Course.
right? Because all that it would have, its whole world would is what I gave it.
Right.
So
And
I would need to exist on a higher plane than what it is I'm creating, because everything they are going to have is because I'm going to bestow it on them.
yes.
That's how I think of God. He's making us in his own image, but of course, we're not gods,
Yeah.
but we are made in his image. And so when time, these things like time, matter, things we see, these are all part of lost dimensions of an eternal, wonderful creator.
Yeah, and
And
so
we can't see God, not because he's invisible. He's right here. He's just so we can't see him, not because he's too small. We can't see him because he's too big. It's like a fish not being able to see the water.
or the ocean or the whole entirety of the ocean that it's swimming in, yeah. So that simplifies it quite a bit and
Not my wheelhouse.
yeah.
Just fun thoughts I wrestle
Fun
with, but.
thoughts that you wrestle with and you sent me some pictures of things with dimensions. It was like a I'm trying to visualize it again because you sent it
Yeah,
me.
so you can YouTube search Tesseract
Tesseract,
or a hypercube, and basically it's just it's a way to envision going in the other way. So we can envision going from our four dimensions or three dimensions to two to one. We see that on TV. That's two dimensional, but a piece of paper, a drawing on a piece of paper, we can envision going losing dimensions, but we can't really
Vision.
grasp
Adding dimensions.
adding dimensions to our perception. The
Yeah.
hypercube does that because you have a point, you pull it out, that's length.
Yeah.
Then you take those points and you pull them down, you have a square.
Okay, that's not two
That's two
dimensions, yeah.
dimensions. Then you take all four of those points and you stretch them out.
Like the
You have a
cube.
cube. That's three dimensions. That's
Yeah.
as far as we can go.
Yeah.
It's as far as our eyes are built to intake
All right, and then the
information.
hypercube.
Computers have been able to just continue the process. So
Right.
now you have a cube. You take all of those, I don't know, 8 points, and you expand those. Now you have a fourth dimension, and it can keep going, and then it can actually rotate. And when you see it rotating, you know that it is.
It looks like it's going inside of
It's
itself.
turning and
It's,
turning inside out, and your brain just
yeah,
doesn't
your
know what
brain
to
just
do.
doesn't know what's going on
But it
there. Yeah.
is happening because the computer has been able to figure out what that would look like.
What that would look like
Just
if
like
there
a
was more, if the cube got into an, yeah,
yeah,
if it carried on growing.
just imagine a cube, a normal cube,
Yeah,
and
like a dice, like a
rotating
dice rotating, yeah.
on a two-dimensional screen. So
Yeah.
we know that we can add a dimension.
By taking it out of the screen.
No. So you have a screen, just two dimensions,
Yeah.
but you have a cube drawn on it,
Oh, it's
and
ro
it's
rotating,
three.
so that's now all of a
Yeah,
sudden three
as long as
dimensions.
it's not moving, it's two dimensions. But if you
Rotate
rotate
it,
it,
then
your
it's
brain
three.
can tell that it's a
Freedom.
three-dimensional, even
Yes.
though it's on a two-dimensional screen.
Yeah.
So we know how to we know how to interpret more dimensions on the medium, on how many dimensions that the medium is giving us.
Yeah.
Two dimensions, but we can tell that it's a three-dimensional object. So the hypercube just keeps going, adding dimensions, and as it turns, it's the same pattern that the computer has given to give you the cube, which you can understand.
Yeah.
But it keeps going, keeps adding dimensions, and it keeps rotating,
And it's a
and your brain
total,
just
your
turns
brain
off.
just goes like, what? Yeah, it's
Yeah.
really interesting to see because your analogy, I think, coming back to God is like he's the he's seeing so many more dimensions than what we are. So to even say something like prophecy, you know, that Joseph prophesied and he became the king's right-hand man, even though he was a prisoner at first. He was shown this by God because this was God's plan. But we it's h really hard to grasp something like prophecy because we are in this three-dimensional thing. And like looking at the hypercube, it's called a hypercube, right?
Yeah, hypercube.
Yeah, like looking at the hypercube, it's just so hard for us to grasp. It's so hard for us to understand something like prophecy. So and it can be dangerous too. You know, that's why there's so much written about.
Well, prophecy is there to bring to give us comfort.
Okay.
Yeah, it's there to give us comfort. Not that everything's mapped out, but that God knows. So, there's comfort in just knowing that God knows what's going to happen. Doesn't mean that there isn't a such thing as a possibility. I like to think of it as you're going to, you reach the fork in the road, and God knows what's down that way. He knows what's down that way, and he knows which way you're going to take. Doesn't mean that you've done it.
So that's what you said to me as well, is that he knows your decision, but you still have free will to make that decision. So he
I
knows.
think so, yeah.
Yeah. So but that's it's and that's one of those things like the hypercube that's really hard to get your head around is like, yes, you do have free will, but it's already, but God already knows what decision you're gonna make.
Yeah, there's even a lot of Calvinists
Yeah.
who are more lean more on the side of. That's the big debate in Christianity, is Calvinist or Arminian, which is responsibility, free will, responsibility of man, and sovereignty of God. Like, how powerful is he if we're choosing what we do? And
Oh, I
so they
see.
can't,
Okay.
those two can't, don't do a good job of reconciling. But we have to just kind of keep both in mind, like a coin's got two sides on it.
Got it.
So Pastor Jason Lewis, a biblical scholar, has come up with a similar understanding to space-time to Donald Hoffman, who's a cognitive psychologist.
And his book and his TED talk, which we're going to include in this show notes, so hopefully it comes down over here, over there. He's come up against with the case against reality, how basically space-time, a different understanding of space-time, and it's very similar to Jason's understanding of space-time. So this is very exciting stuff for me, how a biblical scholar can come up to a very similar or same conclusion as a scientist. So and there'll be more talk about this in the future. So I hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you next time.